Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.10 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Wednesday. John and Hugh, we just had a chance to talk with Dan Quinn, said that Derek Shelby, Tack McKinley are listed as day-to-day. We really, hopefully, that's good. That's better news than I had anticipated reading Tack's tweet earlier this week that let everybody kind of go, oh, no, because, you know, he basically said, you know, this stinks, you know, and we went, oh, no, what does that mean?
It's because you get your sack. And now you have to deal with a groin injury. Now, I know that they might play, but the effectiveness that they're going to be able to display might be in question because, John, a groin injury is no joke, especially when you're a pass rusher and you're trying to do different moves and stuff. It really limits you. It all depends on how severe the groin injury is. Mm-hmm. If it's one of those ones where, you know, it hampers your movement, that could be a problem. Like, you can go out there and you can play, but you're not going to be as functional as you need to be to get to the quarterback. So that's probably what he's talking about. Just like turning the corner, trying to, you know, press the pocket, you know, lean against the offensive lineman and try to, you know, get him back into the pocket a little bit. That's probably going to be hampered for him. For both guys, as a matter of fact.
When you talk about that particular injury, that groin injury, Hugh, is that a case where I understand, I guess it's the inside of the thigh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right there by the mommy daddy button.
You know, yeah. And so if you think about, you know, that area on the inside of your thigh, it makes it hard to cut and move.
It's the worst. See, I've had a groin injury. It's the worst thing that you could possibly have because they try to tape it up and try to limit its movement as much as they possibly can, but it doesn't help. Especially when you're trying to, you know, your whole game is predicated on your speed, your ability to change direction and everything like that. It's hard to do with a groin injury. It is hard to do. And that's going to be the tough part for them. Number one is how severe is it? And number two, can you still function and be effective with it? You know, you just might be a body out there. And Tack, you know, I'm pretty sure for him especially, getting that first sack the way that he got it and thinking that, okay, now it's time to roll.
And another pressure
on
top of that.
Yeah, now it's time to roll, and now he's got to deal with this. That's what sucks for him. That's what I'm thinking he's talking about is the fact that now I have to deal with this injury, so that's going to hamper him a little bit. Tack was trying to get off to a nice little season because, you know, we both predicted that he was going to have a breakout year this year.
Right, no, but it's more you could do. Look, no complaints, no excuses for the Atlanta Falcons, and if Derek Shelby's not 100 and Tack's not 100, that means that, of course, Debo's out and Keanu's out. When you talk about a defensive standpoint, that means Vic Beasley's got to do his thing. It means he has to be the Vic Beasley of 2016. He's got to get that pressure. He's got to get that. I need Vic Beasley to get at least one sack and two pressures, or maybe two sacks and one pressure. I need Brooks Reed to stand and deliver. I mean, and we need these guys to step up in these roles. Kamal Ishmael's going to be moved, you know, to linebacker full-time at middle behind Duke Riley. We've got to have Kamal step up. Weak side linebacker is going to be starting. It's going to be Foye Oluokun. And, you know, we have to have him. We have to have Foye. We have to have all these guys, you know, stand up and deliver. Because Kazee is a ball hawk. He's a different guy. When he was at San Diego State, Hugh, Demonte Kazee led the nation in interceptions. We need Demonte Kazee to pick off, a pass.
Yeah,
you know?
And we don't need him to get, you know, kicked out of the game no more. We don't need that. We don't need no more of that.
No, we don't.
Have enough of that there. No. Have enough of that there.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's the more you could do, and just to kind of, as we talked with Coach, you know, how do you keep Drew Brees in the bottle? I mean, that's the whole thing because, he could.
He's one of those cats you say, okay, man, he's going to get his.
Yeah.
Don't let him get it all.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like Julio. Oh, you know, Julio going to get you 100. Julio good for like 100 at least a game. Just don't let Julio kill you. Like, it's the same thing with Drew Brees because I'm pretty sure the people in Cleveland are smarting. You know, it's one for you to go tie the first game, have the New Orleans Saints in their place on the road, on the ropes, and you can't come away with it. I know they're still hurting behind that one,
mm-hmm.
even though they got to get ready for a game that they're going to win on Thursday night. But still, you still got to feel bad about that one. Because once they beat the Jets this week, they're going to be thinking, you know what? We could have been 2-0. The Cleveland Browns. We'll let them have it. The tie is a tie. But John, the Cleveland Browns could have been 2-0 at the start of the football season, and they could have been drinking Bud Light in Cleveland.
But do you know what happened, Hugh?
They lost.
They became the Browns.
The damn kicker.
0-1-1.
You know how many kickers got fired this week? How many 18 balls? There was two of them, right? Two kickers got fired this week.
Minnesota?
Yes. And did you see what Coach Zimmerman said?
Hey,
did you see the game?
Did you watch the game?
Did you see the game?
Hey, Coach, why'd you get rid of the kicker? Did you see the game?
No love. No love. No decorum. No decorum whatsoever. Just blasted the kicker. Hey, you see? Boy, it's a lot of kickers under pressure this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of kickers.
You know,
that's why
we don't worry about that around here. Oh, my God. How thankful are we?
Hey, listen. How many more years do you think Matt Bryan can kick?
20.
That's why he just walk around locker room chilling, be kicking for a long time. It's hard to find a kicker, man, and nobody thinks about a kicker until you need one. Nobody
kickers
thinks about
too.
That.
I know that Matt's
wife, when you need one.
He's got a brood, you know, Matt. He's got a big family. And so I know those kids.
A brood.
Well, he's got like eight kids.
Yeah, he deep.
Yeah.
He deep.
But we need Matt to just keep kicking until he's like 60. Sorry, he's got to work till he's like 60.
He deep. He got eight kids.
I think he's got seven or eight. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. He's got a big family. We don't worry about that around here because he's Mr. Automatic, you know.
What, Wendy? I'm not going to say a word. I ain't said nothing. I ain't said nothing.
Sometimes, Hugh, you don't have to say anything at all. You just don't.
Hey, what about this nickname we're going to give John Freaky?
Oh, stop.
Oh, no.
We got to give you a nickname,
because,
John Freaky.
Oh, no. Because, Hugh, during the break, because we found out when we were talking about Minka Fitzpatrick and Ryan Fitzpatrick both using Fitzpatrick, John said, oh, I have a nickname. And we're like, hey, John, what's your nickname? And he said it was Dude.
The Dude.
It was Dude.
Dude yeah. was his nickname. So
you
he
ask,
was like,
ask Howard Sabaton out of the Weather Channel.
So he was like,
now
we're
going to give
we
you a new nickname.
We should do a poll. Let's figure out a new nickname.
We're
going
to give John a new nickname, people.
No.
So if you go to 92.9 The Game on our Twitter, we put up a poll, John. What should your nickname be? So this is what Hugh came up with.
I like Freaky Naughty.
Freaky Naughty. Is
what?
I like Freaky Naughty
Bullet
myself.
Bullet Road is going to say
John,
this to me.
We're giving you a nickname. Today is your day, John. Don't deflect. This is your day. Did we put the Dude on there just
okay,
because?
Okay, so we have Freaky Naughty, which was Hugh's suggestion.
God.
Father Time is what I came up with. sorry, cramps. Dude is left on there. And then Other, please tweet us your suggestions. And as
you
the
can
show
just call
goes
me
on,
Other.
No, we're gonna open it for suggestions.
Because we will read your suggestions on the air. I'll give you credit
you
on
understand
Twitter.
That if Freaky Naughty wins, I'm not going
to
respond
no,
to that.
No, right
show.
Now, John, it's in the lead 47%.
You don't have to, John, but guess who's going to call you Freaky Naughty
Hugh,
every
it's
day?
It's leading right now. Freaky Naughty is leading 47%.
Okay, we'll do this today.
Are you serious already?
Way, yeah, okay.
Already.
So tomorrow we do you.
Do we
well,
do
John,
you? Wow, John, that don't sound right.
All right, everything just got awkward.
Let the record show that Arthur is not a part of this, so he will not be in today's meeting.
But John, I didn't say my nickname was Dude. Like Dude is just
you
what
said.
You,
yeah, you
no,
said.
I
you
wasn't
said
what I gave myself.
We are giving you a new nickname, John Freaky, because and you're gonna like it. If Freaky Naughty wins, that's your new nickname.
Oh my God,
Freaky Naughty.
So please go to 92.9 The Game. This is someone says Sticky Icky Freaky.
Oh great,
that's that was
great.
Pretty decent. Sticky,
what are we? What are we in Sticky second icky. Grade? I mean, come on,
Sticky Icky.
You know what, Kenny? That's hey. Awesome. So Kenny on
Mrs.
Twitter.
Sprady, Mrs. Schroeder. Yeah, come on.
Dude.
We're not in second grade.
Dude.
Sticky icky.
Sticky icky.
Come on, something better. I'm the driver of the bandwagon. I'm
hey,
the keeper
John,
of the Kool-Aid.
You can trademark this nickname.
I'm the driver.
You can sell
you
merchandise.
You can
driver.
Trademark Freaky, not freaky Naughty,
no,
though.
No, that ain't
we're going to get you a Falcons jersey that say Freaky Naughty
no,
on the back.
Yeah,
or a T-shirt.
Because
oh, Falcons jerseys are too expensive.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, yeah, yeah,
hey,
yeah.
That was about $100? Ain't got that kind of money.
What?
Well, I don't know if.
Come on, Hugh. You spent
$100. I don't know if Freaky Naughty's going to work with yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire music.
Yeah.
That would be tremendous.
Swamp Killer might. Swamp Killer.
Let the
that's
record show that AT just
no,
participated.
Swamp Killer.
AT did participate.
Yeah. God.
Imagine listening to Rick James with a name like Freaky Naughty, though.
You know, because here's the problem. Dukes and Bell will think they're too funny by half, and then D&B will get into this. And
no.
Mike Bell. No, because Mike Bell, because, you know, Mike, you know, I mean, so he'll get into this. You know, he'll get into the whole thing. That'll be, and he'll drink too much Hey Man Ale, and the next thing you know, he'll be giving me new nicknames that I don't want. If you can't make it to the game on Sunday, go to the official Falcons game day party, which is at noon at Sidebar in downtown Atlanta. The Falcons and Swampers party is going to be at noon, a Sidebar in downtown Atlanta. Do not show up if you have that black and gold on, okay? Going to be a ton of Falcons prizes to give away during the game. Freddie the Falcon, Falcon cheerleaders are going to make an appearance again. Sidebar downtown Atlanta is going to be our official watch party for the Falcons and Sticky Town on Sunday. We're talking about the Falcons of the Dan Quinn interview that has just been concluded here. Coach talking about the rivalry. And it is interesting to me because he understands now, because I remember talking to him. Huey's been on with us since he's been the head coach, and I've been talking to him the first year, I think, we started talking to him about the Saints rivalry, and understandably, he wasn't from here. He didn't have a sense of it. He would talk in terms of, like, third person. He would say, my understanding is that this is a rivalry. My understanding is, from what people tell me, I hear the players talking about it. Now, he is personally vested. Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with that, because I caught your reference about Sean Payton and the choke. I don't know if it had anything to do with that. You know, but
that was disrespectful.
It was very disrespectful to be disrespectful to one of his
guys. And you know, because the coaches are, even though they're very, very competitive, they're in a fraternity and they're in a tight group. But for him to do that and then act like he didn't do anything was pretty telling. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he wasn't too happy behind that. I would love to have been there at the coaches meeting and to see the interaction between the two and how did that go down. Because you got to think that even though the coaches are in a fraternity, that sometimes when they get together, there's some coaches that don't like other coaches. Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder how much shade they throw towards Bill Belichick when he comes to the meetings, knowing what has been alleged against the New England Patriots. Because, you know, it's one thing when coaches are unified on the front of when you say something negative about a coach, they never throw anybody under the bus. But privately, you know that those conversations have to be different.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
So I'm pretty sure when they got behind closed doors, that I could see Coach Quinn rolling up on Sean Payton like, yo, man, what was up with that choke sign? Let do it again. See what happened in these meetings behind these closed doors. Put these hands on. I can see Coach Quinn putting hands on Sean Payton.
Yeah, I can see that. But he's vested in this rivalry now.
Because he looked like Stone Cold Steve Austin. Can I get a hell yeah?
I never thought about that.
He's the only one laughing, which makes
but you know
it
what?
Awkward.
That's what I like. I can laugh at my own jokes because they're mine. See, John, that, you can learn from me.
Oh,
that's what like okay. When you tell them corny jokes that you
yeah,
tell,
uh-huh.
Laugh.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, just laugh because it's funny
except,
to you.
Except well, no, they're not. I mean,
laugh,
I know they're
clown,
stupid.
Laugh.
See, they're not.
See, don't listen,
funny.
AT. Don't let AT. See,
yeah,
that's
wait,
a shot. AT
wants to be part of
shot.
The show now. Is that what's happening? Is that what you want to do?
AT taking a shot.
Oh, okay. Just that was a song that came to my head.
Oh, okay.
Don't be so sensitive.
No, I'm not being sensitive. Tulane's got a big game this week. You know that they're playing. They're playing the liar.
Back to Tulane.
There he goes.
Back to Tulane.
Frankie McFly over there. I'm just reading some of your nicknames now on Twitter. They're
what's
like, they're coming in.
No, save it. Oh, save it for the Wendy Zone.
Fast and furious.
Somebody say
Mr.
Freak
Atlanta.
Nasty.
All right, I'll go with that. You know,
Freaky Dicky.
The driver.
How
about driver?
No, someone called John Mumbles.
Oh, stop.
Mumbles.
Do I mumble?
No, but it's just funny. Mumble. Mumbles is a
the
funny word.
The nickname Mumbles is
Mumbles
funny.
Is a funny word.
I am not mumbling.
Mumbles.
Hi, folks.
Swamp killer. Give me something good. Somebody come up with something like, you know. That, yeah,
someone
I
said
can,
grandpa.
You know,
can I get a hell yeah?
Someone said history lesson.
Well, but you
no,
know what?
John, you will break out with a history
hey,
lesson.
You know, but so, thank God somebody can because we lose
you're
history.
Right. You,
I mean,
you know what? You're right.
I mean, thank God somebody could give you a little bit of history in this time.
I do respect that. At first, it was a little weird because you was always, you know, breaking down the history. But then after a while, I've come to respect the fact that you do know your Atlanta history. You really do.
Yeah, and it's okay anyway.
Well, because he was there to cover it.
Well, only that, well, see, in a lot of cases, that's true.
That's a shot.
But it's true. I mean. What do you get? What do you say? Yeah, see, millennials have no appreciation of history.
They don't appreciate none of that.
They
John,
don't.
I'm with
John,
man.
You do your thing,
you
John Freaky.
John, I appreciate you. I'm just, I just think it's funny all at the same time. You
talk
can laugh,
talk,
you can,
John.
You can laugh and like something at the same time.
The Falcons and Saints getting a you know a chance to and the front loaded schedule too. You know, and he talked about the front loaded schedule, and of course he's going to talk about you know this. But I do want to point out the fact that when you have to play your three division games. In the first 6 weeks of the season, and those three are at home, You can't understate the importance of winning these three games, because now you're backloaded and you got to play those three division games in the second half of the season all on the road. And that makes holding serve for the Atlanta Falcons by beating Carolina at home in week two, by beating Swampers in week three, by beating the whoever the hell's going to play quarterback
Cincinnati,
for that.
The Bengals.
You got no, I'm talking about it's week six against Tampa.
Oh, you skipped the Bengals?
I'm just talking
Bengals
about,
undefeated, John Freaky.
I'm just talking about the division.
But you still got it. You got to protect your house.
Oh, yeah, because AJ Green is coming home.
Yeah. You got to protect the house.
And then you got to go to Heinz Field to play the, you know, internal meltdown that
hopefully
is the Steelers.
They're melting down by that point. By the time you see the Steelers, hopefully they melt down. There you go. That's your song, Freak Nasty. Super Freaky. No, that's Give It To Me, Baby.
All right, Super Freaky, I'll go with. Super Freaky works.
Nah, Freak Nasty. I think Freak Nasty's going to win.
I don't even want to imagine you as Super Freaky.
Yeah, he's Super Freaky. Yow.
I hate this show.
No, you don't. You love us.
Oh, I love you guys. I just the show. When we get back, Georgia Tech, big game. What Paul Johnson has to say about playing them Orange Tigers. We have that next after CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Super Freak, hey.
Monday through Friday.
Swap things where you check your...
At the freaking goal line!
We're going to fill 5 hours of radio. You're going to love it.
And all through the weekend.
Football is easy. Coaches make it hard.
Just let me be a man.
The game is everywhere. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. From the Kia Studios on this very busy Wednesday. Going to be a great week ahead. College football knocking on the door. College Football Notebook this morning, sponsored as it is every day by Dixie Vodka. It is football season meets tailgating, and a true Southern tailgate isn't complete without Dixie Vodka. Visit DixieVodka.com. Dixie Vodka, made in America and by God raised here in the South. All right, we got a lot to chop up here with college football. The Georgia Bulldogs are probably torn a little this week about a game down on the flats. If you're a Georgia fan, Hugh, who are you rooting for? I mean, it is not in your DNA to root for Georgia Tech in anything, in any way, or in any shape. However, they're playing the Clemson Tigers.
You're talking about for positioning purposes this early in the season, John?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to think about getting two teams in from the SEC,
well,
you wouldn't mind knocking out one of the potential teams that could be considered from the ACC.
There's two things that I think about that. I was always told that in college football, it's always best to lose early. So, to be honest, it's still fairly early in the college football season.
Can I stop you right there? Because yes. I think you're right. But did Alabama change that dynamic last year because they lost late to Auburn?
See, John, this is where I think for you it's kind of hard to get past. Like, every year is on its own merit.
Okay.
And the college football committee has stated that.
Right.
And they have shown us that by the moves that they have made over the previous years as far as, you know, them making their selection for the teams that they pick. So I still think that old rule applies that if you lose early, it's better to lose early than late. I still think that applies.
I think you're right.
Because, you know, you look at some teams and the way the scheduling goes, they almost schedule preseason games within the season to help their offense and everything get clicking. And then, you know, late in the season, that's when the team is really what there is. So I think that applies. And not only that, it's one of those things where I don't care where – if I'm Georgia, it's nice to be in the top 10, top 5, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not too much concerned about that until we get into the real true meat of the season. Because, you know, LSU, to me, looks like it – could potentially be a huge obstacle for you going into this season, especially when everybody thought that your biggest test would be South Carolina.
Or Auburn.
Yeah, you railroaded them. So LSU could be that landmine that we're talking about right off the top.
Well, Georgia Tech needs something positive. I mean, back-to-back losses where they probably could have or should have won both games. They outplayed South Florida, just couldn't cover a kickoff. And against Pittsburgh, they didn't bother to show up until late. They're going up against Clemson at home. We've seen this before where Georgia Tech wins a game, like in Athens or against Clemson here. that otherwise most people don't think that they should have a business winning. They beat Deshaun Watson here. Can they do that again to Clemson? Paul Johnson talking yesterday, head coach of the Jackets, about the challenge ahead.
This week will be a tremendous challenge. This might be as talented a team as we've played since I've been here. Defensively, they've got multiple first-round draft picks, and offensively, they've got a great deal of skill. I think their running backs and receivers are as good as anybody in the country. Be a huge challenge.
Yeah, going to be a big challenge. So big a challenge, the oddsmakers have made Georgia Tech a 17-point underdog at home to the Clemson Tigers. And it got even worse yesterday with the news that Andrew Marshall and Will Bryan, two of their star offensive linemen, going to be out for this game, two veteran offensive linemen. And that is not a good position to be in, Hugh, when you're going up against that defensive line, because if you can expose Clemson in its secondary, and that may be the case with this team, you can't expose that defensive line, and Georgia Tech is a point of attack team, not a downfield team.
Yeah, man, and we've seen over the last few weeks that Georgia Tech, for the most part, John, is really one-dimensional in the sense that if you can shut that run down, they struggle mightily to throw the ball down the field. And so you're looking at a game against that defensive line of the Clemson Tigers that it's looking to feast. It is looking to do some damage.
It is going to be a big challenge for Georgia Tech against Clemson in this game at Bobby Dodd Stadium. So Tech and Clemson, and there'll be a lot of eyes on this game to see if Georgia Tech can pull off the upset. And Clemson hasn't been a world beater yet, but that Tech defense, which has been under Nate Woody, doesn't appear to be all that much better than it was last year, so we'll have to see.
Well, I will say this, that, you know, just talking to some people, some Georgia Tech fans, and I guess people that are close to the program, they said that, you know, this is kind of the defense was going to struggle a little bit. I didn't expect it to struggle like this. Because the biggest thing, John, is when you switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4, that nose man has to be a dog. He has to be a beast. And that's the position where you're struggling at right now. I think Henri St. Amour, the defensive tackle in this play, I think he's a pretty good player. It's like the nose man in that position. It's hard to find a good nose man.
Well, they have the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets hosting Clemson. Georgia will be on the road at Missouri. Now, I know a lot of Georgia fans because, believe me, on my Twitter, I've seen a lot of Georgia fans going, we got this. We're going to beat these guys 58-6. Okay.
Your Georgia Tech fans say that?
No, Georgia fans.
Oh, I thought you said Georgia Tech. I was about to say, wait a minute.
No, we got this. Bulldogs fans are like, we're going to go in there and just crush them. And Missouri's defense, not very good, and Georgia should be able to move the ball.
No, they gave up 500 some yards? Was it 500?
Yeah, to Purdue.
Yeah.
I know. No, Georgia should be able to move the ball. But the thing that's going to be interesting to me is, can Georgia stop Drew Locke and that offense of Missouri? And this is what J.R. Reed talking about. We know that Drew Locke is going to try and take shots downfield, and he's going to try and take, whereas Georgia Tech is a point of attack team, Missouri is not. Missouri is a downfield team with that quarterback, and J.R. Reed knows what they have to do.
They like to spread the ball, they like to go tempo, and they like to, you know, beat you deep. When you're coming into the SEC, you're going to face a different team, a different concept. And so the different ways they want to attack us is just explosive plays, and those are things we can't give up.
No, you can't give up. And Jonathan Ledbetter was talking about you got to be able to get a pass rush, but it's been difficult for Georgia, which is last in the SEC in sacks, to get that pass rush going this year because everybody playing them a certain way.
We haven't been able to get a lot of pass rush, that is true, but we've been playing teams that have been doing a lot of quick game. You know, the ball is in their hands and out of the quarterback's hands, and, you know, under 2 seconds, you know, it's hard to you know, get to the quarterback, so you have to find other ways to affect them, you know, like batted balls and, you know, just trying to break up passes, you know, with the D linemen. And
yeah, right now Georgia has 1 sack in the season for 3 yards, one. And you're going up against Drew Locke, you got to find a way to get pressure. And Drew Locke is a different guy because while he gets the ball out quickly in tempo, he does like to go downfield, which means it's going to take him a little bit longer on certain plays. Locke is considered by some, Hugh, to have grown into the number one quarterback in the nation in terms of the NFL and the draft. He's started to be slotted as a potential top 10 pick. He has 1,062 yards and 11 touchdowns already this season. There's no doubt that Georgia's going to be able to move the ball. And what Georgia has to do in this game, Holyfield, Swift, let's presume he's healthy, Cook, Herrion, they've got to be able to just keep Drew Locke on the sidelines, go on some long drives, milk the clock, keep him away, because one of the things you don't want with Missouri is to get into a shootout with them, because we can see that Missouri can win shootouts.
Yeah, but this is also, you talk about this is going to be the best test for this Missouri offense. Because who you had, John? You had UT Martin, Wyoming, Purdue.
Oh, no question.
You know what I mean? So
no question.
It's like This would be by far their toughest test against a good defense, and a good offense. You look at those teams you're playing against Purdue, that offense, I got the chance to see them play against, was it Northwestern early in the season? And they were going back and forth with Northwestern. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get a chance. They're going to go up against a good defense and a good offense in this one.
Yeah, and and I know Georgia fans are all confident that they're going to go in there and win this by 6 touchdowns. But they may, by the way. They may just crush Missouri. I mean, that may be the case. They may beat them 62-14. I have no idea. I'm just saying, and they probably should. But it's just, I caution. I guess this is just the nature in me, Hugh. When you expect things, Georgia's a potential 12-0 team. But they're going to be, as we talked about yesterday, tested a little bit at some point this season. We're not talking about the LSU game or the Auburn game or the SEC title game. We're not talking about the games that we know they're going to go up against. There's going to be a game, the Missouri game, the Florida game, the Tennessee game, Vanderbilt. Somebody's going to test them that they, they're not going to win all those games like by 6 touchdowns. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying that's this week. But what you have to guard against is the one thing you do not want to do against Missouri is let Drew Lock, get unleashed.
Throw it all over the schoolyard.
And throw it all over the schoolyard.
You definitely don't want that to happen. So it's going to be a huge test. It's definitely going to be a huge test to Georgia, but I think it's one that they'll be able to pass because, like I said, John, I think Coach Smart has done a great job of keeping this team hungry and competitive. Because it's not about you're the starter, it's about you're the starter this week. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like, that you're the starter this week, and that could be up in the air if you don't perform at a high level.
Right, and of course we're talking about Georgia, Missouri. One other quick note about Georgia, they released their schedule for next year yesterday, and it's been much noted that they will open the season for the first time in 25 years with a conference game on the road, no less, on the last day of August in Nashville against Vanderbilt. But what jumped out at me for this schedule next year, their other crossover game in the West is Texas A&M, but we finally have a date for the Notre Dame game, September 21st in Athens. Man, that might be the biggest non-conference game in Georgia history. How about Notre Dame in Athens on September 21st?
Yeah, you're going to be able to get tickets for that one. Oof, but we will be able to be at the tailgate. Then we're going to tailgate for that one.
Man, that is going to be gigantic next year. But we got to worry about first things first if you're a Georgia fan.
Yeah, but we can get our tailgate schedule put together right now.
We probably could. We venture into that area known as his world.
Yes, when we get to critique John Michael's song and see what we thought about it, because this is AT's first time, so we're going to see what he thinks about it. All on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Game now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode, so back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by Camus. Camus, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
So now, you know, we usually do this thing where we critique the song of John Michael's.
Right.
And, you know, it was so much stuff going on that I forgot to do it. And now, you know, that since we have AT on the morning show now, and we don't have Bo, shout out to my man Bo, because, you know, Bo used to be on there. He used to kill John Michaels.
He
used
yes,
to kill his music. We're going to allow AT to be one of the critics on
Yes,
on
AT. Don't shake your head.
On the show.
Oh, don't.
You got to be a part of it, AT.
You can't, AT. You got to give us your
You have to give your honest opinion about
yes, you do.
The
opinion,
just it's just an opinion. And I know that we work in radio and some people have thin skin, but John Michaels is not one of those individuals. Because we go at his neck all the time, and he's a good sport about it.
Yep. This is a setup. I'm going after
your
neck.
No, it's not.
No, it's not a setup. John Michaels is pretty good about this. He's really good about this. So without further ado, we're going to play John Michaels' victory song. Hit it!
Falcons Victory Monday, we're back. What you guys wanted. You know the offense play better now, better now. Matt Ryan haters not around, not around. Sarkisian didn't let you down, cause we scored on everything, and I mean everything. You know the offense play better now, better now. Matt Ryan haters not around, not around. Sarkisian didn't let you down, let you down. zone.
No snorting during this.
All of the struggles in the red zone. Matt Ryan wasn't your friend. No
snorting during the song.
Couldn't throw touchdowns to Julio. 31 points now. Open your eyes. Tevin Coleman was shining so bright. Egg Twitter pictures never posted on her side. Now you jump on board like you're looking for a ride. Edo Smith was rolling, rolling, rolling. Brothers out here like Rico, Rico. Sunu's hit, Luke will never forget. But Calvin Ridley can be the sh-. You know the offense played better now, better now. Matt Ryan haters not around, not around. Sarkisian didn't let you down, let you down. Cause we scored on everything, and I mean everything. Whoa.
Hey. Our boy John.
Hey, Saints, you're next.
Yeah.
I always say.
Good job, even though you gave me a dirty look.
John Michaels always, for me, gets an A for effort because he's out there and he's actually doing these songs.
And writing them.
And writing them on the fly. Because I've seen the guy out there work. He's a busy man, so I give him an A for that. But, you know, the reason why – let me just give you a little insight, the reason why I like to do these. Because mm-hmm. I have the pleasure of working with somebody who's a musical genius in his own right, and he plays multiple instruments. And a lot of people don't know that about him, and he is musically inclined. I'm talking about my man Daryl Ashurst. And Daryl's very, very kind when he gives these critiques. But if I had a video camera to show you the look on Daryl's face when he listens to these songs, it is priceless. So that's why I'm gonna go to Daryl first. Daryl, how would you think of the song?
It's not my demographic, so A for effort.
That's not what I asked you, Daryl. What'd you think of the song?
That's my critique. It's okay. Not my demographic, so I'm not qualified to speak
and
on it.
And another thing, what was the song he was singing over?
It was Metallica,
that was
right?
That Better Now by Post Malone.
Oh.
Well, you said Metallica, John.
No, that
what
was
the?
Post Malone, John. He was just in town.
Yeah, see, I don't even listen to Post, so it's not
Malone?
For me.
I love Post.
That's
Post
what
Malone.
I said. See, that's not my demographic.
He's a new cereal.
You know who Post Malone is. Wow. He sang Rockstar.
Oh, okay. And so to our main man, AT, who just, you know, he's just been indoctrinated into the new John Michael song. What'd you think about AT?
I have never heard this song before. Now, kind of like Daryl, it's not my demographic. I don't listen to today's music. So the only thing I knew about Post Malone is the unfortunate passing of him a week or two ago.
Thinking of Matt.
Oh no, he's still alive.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Post.
Oh my goodness.
No, you gotta do it.
Who passed away?
Mac Miller. Okay. Yeah.
See, this is why I shouldn't have participated with this.
No, that's okay.
It's okay. It's okay. AT, players mess up.
He got to do a tay-tay, right?
Players mess up.
Post had a near-death experience being on that airplane.
Yeah, thanks for cleaning that up.
I got you.
I appreciate you. Right here. I give him a B for effort because I couldn't do it.
I
so,
think it deserves it.
And it's, well, it's my first time, so I haven't listened to a lot.
Wait a minute. I have to jump in and say that even though he is not present,
mm-hmm.
I have just gotten a text from Squidbilly, and this is what he had to say. Because he doesn't sleep.
He doesn't.
He said, clearly John didn't work on his rap game during the offseason. That bleep is terrible. I wouldn't play that garbage for my worst enemy.
Now, I like the beat. Now, the execution,
that's
where I would have given him a B.
I have a question for everybody. Does anybody want to hear John Michael sing after the Saints game? Hell yeah.
Because you know what? It has a representation.
You
so
damn right.
I
mean, every John Michael song is A+ because it means we won.
I like
before.
The fact that he was up and he listened. Bo was up and he listened to this and he gave his critique unsolicited. That was kind of.
But you know, you read it, so you.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, I mean, come on, man. I got, you know, hey, you got to get a man a little props. Yeah, he unsolicited.
Don't give him
text,
no statue,
man.
Bro. Give him guts.
Wow.
I thought the song was great.
I thought you were sitting here dancing.
I thought he killed the lyrics. He killed, like, singing it. I mean, rock on. I thought it was great.
I'm a John Michaels fan.
A++.
But I think that, honestly, John Michaels needs to stick to rap because it's hard to carry a tune.
You mean he's done R&B?
Yeah, he needs. He's done. John Michaels. He's in singing. All other genres of music. He
oh, John listen, has gotten down.
Like he has gotten down. Like all props to him. But I like his rap better because it's hard to carry a tune. It is hard to carry a tune, and you know sometimes he tends to make your ears bleed a little bit,
By the way, why were you snorting through that?
Because Wendy's dancing, John's dancing. And Daryl's looking like he's trying to have a bowel movement, like he ate way too much cheese. And he's sitting over there.
Bruh.
And I'm laughing because, like, every time he sang, Daryl's face was in so much pain. I just thought that was funny. But again, like I said, my man John Michaels, shout out for having the wherewithal, the gall, the stones to do that. And to put yourself out there like that, I thought the song was great, but
shout
it's always
I am a huge
it's always
John
fun.
Michaels
it's,
fan.
It's always funny to see you know, see Daryl's look on his face.
Yep. I didn't say nothing.
No, you didn't. But the look on your face says it all.
Because I don't want that.
The day that John Michaels doesn't sing a song after a Falcons game is a bad, bad day.
Yeah, and the fact that Daryl stutters when I bring it to him. Because he's not.
Day when
I
he
didn't
does.
Stutter. I
he's
said it wasn't right. my demographic.
He's a very cordial man. See, look, he gets a little defensive. Because he's very protective of his music, and I get that.
And that wasn't my music, so
and
that's
see,
not my thing.
See, he's a little protective right now, but it's cool.
That's okay.
I shouldn't even be involved in this.
See how he do when he get like that? See how he do?
I'm going to fight you.
I try to stay away from this. Don't drag me into this. You already drug me into something.
If somebody say something to me, dog, I'm telling you.
That's why I do it because Daryl loves music and he's very, very protective of his music. And that's why I like putting him in that uncomfortable
position.
That wasn't
my music.
Meantime, back on the show, the great Brad Nessler in a half hour at 9:20 this morning. We'll talk SEC with the voice of the SEC, Brad Nessler. Next, though, the Atlanta Braves got a big one. How can they get a win at home for the love of God? Maybe we need Steve Holman to be the announcer for a day. As we continue next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.